One. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. I'm joined today by good friend, senior draft analyst of the End Zone Podcast, Ryan Kearney. Ryan, welcome back to the show. I've had a long day, so if my energy seems a little bit down, I apologize. I'm excited about our topic of conversation tonight. We're going to go really into the quarterbacks here, which I think are exciting because there are quite a few intriguing prospects in this class. But Frozen Four, unfortunately, Colgate women fall short. General thoughts on the season, the team moving forward, how we feeling? You know, we are the preeminent number one Colgate women's hockey podcast in the goddamn country. So we got to give the people what they want. What happened? Break down the loss for us, RK.
Well, you know, first of all, thanks for having me, Eric. I am thrilled to be back and talking quarterbacks later on this podcast. But if you insist upon going deeper into the ending of what was a very pleasant and fun season for the Colgate women's ice hockey team, we did come up short against the Wisconsin Badgers. No shortage of chances. We were 0-5 on the power play, didn't score on two breakaways, but I'm not still thinking about it. You know, it was a good season, a lot of positives. It was a big team goal of ours to make it as far as we did. So heads held high and on to next season, to which we still have some quality players returning. Not going to lie, we're losing a lot of good quality seniors. Going to miss our senior group very much, but we still got some ball players on our team. So excited about what we have coming back as well. So, you know, it's not every day that you can say that you attended a Frozen Four as someone that was working in it, so I'll always hold on to that, think of it as a very positive experience despite the ending outcome, which was unfortunately a loss to us against Wisconsin. But great experience, really enjoyed the week. Get to kind of shift gears a little bit now into off-season mode, different change of pace for me and my job. But yeah, it was a very pleasant season, and definitely we'll always think fondly upon how everything turned out.
Absolutely. Well, I'm happy that they made it to the Frozen Four. I'm happy you have that experience. I'm happy for you, RK.
Thank you, Eric.
It's a big deal to get to the Frozen Four, and to be a part of it is obviously very, very cool. So shouts to RK and the Colgate women's hockey team in Central New York. A place where the sun does not shine, as we as we established before this call got started. But yeah, that's pretty much it. NFL stuff, everything's kind of slowed down. I guess the biggest thing that's happened is L'Jarius Sneed traded to the Titans and then given a 4-year, $70 million contract. Was a little bit nuts. Let me just give you a take, RK. Some people, mainly Titans fans, I think it's because I follow a lot of Titans fans on Twitter for some reason, because, as you know, Trey is a big Titans guy and was a big part of his podcast for a while. So I follow a lot of Titans people. They're really high on this team. They made really interesting moves because, yeah, I see that argument, but where they've improved in a different way than what I would say is classically traditional when it comes to like what successful NFL teams are doing. Like, yes, they've improved their wide receiving core, but they've done it with Calvin Ridley, who kind of underwhelmed last year and is a guy that looks like he's kind of on the wrong side of his career and coming down. And your number two across from him is a rapidly declining DeAndre Hopkins. So that was very interesting. I do like what they did on the offensive line. They brought in Lloyd Cushenberry. They bring in Brian Callahan as the offensive line coach, and you bring in Joe Alt, probably in the draft. Like, you would imagine they'll go tackle with that pick. I think I agree they got it fixed up. But then you look at like what they did at running back, and it's like You moved on from Derrick Henry, which maybe that was smart, maybe that was not, but you paid Tony Pollard an absurd amount of money to come play for you, coming off a year when Tony Pollard just was not consistently healthy and was not consistently performing. So I just don't know how much of an upgrade Pollard is going to be from what Derrick Henry was at his best. And the defense, you could say, yeah, they've got a lot of pieces, but they're also, Jeffrey Simmons is an injury risk at this point in his career. The defensive line's a little bit thin almost, you would say. And then they bring in L'Jarius Sneed, who played really well, but to me, L'Jarius Sneed is a very good corner that got coached up to an elite level. I don't know how he's going to do in a scheme where things are not being schemed for him. Like, I think the Spags scheme raises the level of the talent involved, and I think especially in the secondary. And then, just the fact that they're still rolling with Will Levis, and it's like, outside of one game against the Falcons, what has Will Levis shown us? I don't fully understand the optimism around the team. I'm definitely going to pick them to finish fourth in the division, but it's an interesting offseason for sure, because they certainly haven't stood pat. They've done their best to improve their roster, but I just don't know if I agree with the way Ron Carafon's doing this thing, because he's not really valuing building through the draft, it seems. It seems like he's more into trading for somewhat proven NFL assets. And I don't know how well that strategy is going to work, but it's strategy.
Yeah, they're probably like a 500 team in a bad division, and they'll be within a couple of games of getting it done. But the Colts, the Jags, the Texans, it's not a great division. Maybe getting a little bit better. I don't think that the Titans would be the favorite in that division. So we'll see what they can do. But I don't think it's the worst roster, but probably just like a 500 team, maybe a little bit below, if I had to guess.
I disagree with one thing you said there. I think it's a good division now. Like, I think that the Texans, you can make the argument that they'll be in the race for a one or two seed in the AFC this year with the way the roster's constructed and the ceiling of a quarterback. Trevor Lawrence was playing pretty well before he picked up like four really major injuries down the stretch that kind of knocked down his production. And he had a good year last year. I feel like people are kind of low on him. I'm not willing to say he's like a no doubt top five quarterback, but like he is still a very good quarterback, and they do still have a very good coach in Doug Peterson there. And I do think it's still a pretty talented roster in terms of a team that can make the playoffs. And then, people forget. I think one of the most electric players in the league last year when he was healthy was Anthony Richardson. Like, Anthony Richardson absolutely lit up the NFL for about 4 weeks last year and then got concussed and hurt his knee and his shoulder. And you could say he's going to have injury risk for the rest of his career. That's fine. I'm cool with saying that. But I think you do have to admit that this is a pretty, to me, this is the division I am most excited about in the AFC next year. I think it's
Whoa,
the one with the
what?
most, I think it's the one with the most questions that don't have answers, and the one where the most possible kind of outcomes could answer. I think it's a really interesting division.
I mean, interesting, but when you look at the AFC East, you have the Dolphins and Bills. Those are two legit contenders. You look at the AFC West, you have the Chiefs, defending champs. You look at the AFC North, and you have the Ravens, who are really good. The Browns, the Bengals when healthy, the Steelers, they're all competitive teams. I still think this division's getting better, but I still think it's the worst in the AFC. It may be intriguing, but at least in terms of
No, I
could
think
we
the
have a
AFC
Super Bowl
West is
winner out of
worse.
could we have an AFC champion out of the AFC South? And I think no, I think it's the least likely division to have an AFC champion out of it.
You don't think the Houston Texans could go to the Super Bowl next year?
I wouldn't pick it
That's
over the
that is
Chiefs or the
absolutely
Bills
crazy.
or the Dolphins.
That's crazy. To
Or the
me,
Ravens, the Bengals, if they stay healthy. There's a plenty of teams that I would still take over the Texans.
I totally disagree. To me, right now, it's the Chiefs and then the Texans right below. I think that's the way it goes, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, for sure. I did want to point out, I think the AFC West is the worst division now because the Chargers roster is so weak, dude. I don't know if you've looked at the
I
Chargers
mean, Jim
roster in
Harbaugh might
recent
not throw a
weeks.
pass. Have you
Yeah.
considered that?
Yeah, but who are they going to run the ball with, Gus Edwards? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I think that's
Like,
exactly their plan.
I don't think Gus Edwards is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think he has
No,
that
I
in
don't
him.
either. I
Like,
don't think it'll work, but.
and like the Raiders are going to roll out Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Like, okay, the Broncos are going to roll out Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. It's like, what, that is clearly the worst division in the AFC. There's like
Yeah,
no
but you still
question
have the
about it.
best team in the NFL in it. So it's hard for me to knock it too much.
Yeah, but I mean, it's only a fourth of the division. If you had a
It is
product
a weak
and
division. I
three
will give you
fourths
that.
of
Outside of Kansas City.
the product was absolute dog shit, but one fourth worked really, really well, would you still say it was a good
I mean,
product?
if
If
that one
three
fourth
fourths
is
of a
winning you back-to-back Super Bowls, it's pretty damn good.
No, I'm not taking that. It's a bad division, and the Chiefs are, profiting from playing in a really bad division. It's
I
been a
mean, but
bad
they're
division.
all they. I mean, come
By
on,
the
you
way,
can't say that their
it's been
division
a
is the
bad
reason they did
division.
it.
It's
They had to
been a
win three
bad.
road games to win it, and none of them were in their own division.
And by the way, for the entirety of Patrick Mahomes' career, basically, it's been a bad division. Like, let's just
No,
be honest.
I don't know. I think it's just starting to get pretty bad now. I think it hasn't been the worst.
No, I mean, the Chargers. No, if you look back on the last 5 years, the Chargers were never a good team. The Broncos were never a good team. And the Raiders were never a good team. You
I
can't
mean, but they
argue.
made the playoffs.
How
You
many
make the
times? The
playoffs.
Chargers made the playoffs once in the past 4 years.
Yeah, 2022.
The Broncos have never made the playoffs in that span. And the Raiders have made it once. You're
Yeah,
telling
they
me
suck.
that's. Dude, I'm telling you, it's been a bad division for about a decade now. They just beat up on trash cans. Like,
Yeah,
that's.
but okay, they do. But then they also beat good teams. They also go
No,
underdog
I'm not
and win
arguing
games.
that they're bad. I'm just saying you're overvaluing the AFC West as a whole because it's a bad division.
I'll give you that. I agree.
Okay, let's get into the quarterbacks. Okay, I want to start here with JJ McCarthy, who I just got done watching a Kirk Benkert breakdown on and some highlights of. And let me say, I'm a big fan of Kirk Benkert. I know he had that kind of controversial tweet about the Drake May stuff. I watched his video that prompted him to tweet that. I don't disagree. Like that, like he does seem like a pretty raw prospect, May, but I'm a fan of Benkert, and I think he does a decent job. His argument with JJ McCarthy is that he's from a pro style system. He does all the things you'd want a pro style quarterback to do really well already at kind of an efficient level. He's shown some flashes, and really the biggest knock on him is the fact there's not enough tape on him. I know you're lower on McCarthy. I was lower on McCarthy coming into this too. I know he had some turnover stuff occasionally, but I'm starting to kind of come around on him a little bit, and I'm coming around on the argument that if he gets to a good team, it could be a good situation for him. And I'm looking at one team very specifically here, and it's the Minnesota Vikings, who are accumulating draft picks and look like they might want to make a move up to that fourth pick. I guess, how would you feel about JJ McCarthy if he landed on the Minnesota Vikings? Because I know you're not really pro him as a prospect, but he didn't have a lot of gimme throws in college because Jim Harbaugh's offense just doesn't really give the quarterback gimme throws, which, by the way, hearing Kirk Benkert talk about Jim Harbaugh's offense didn't really give me a lot of confidence about what we're going to see from Justin Herbert over the next few years. But, I think Kevin O'Connell's offense really does that super well. Justin Jefferson's there. Jordan Addison's there. It's a decent offensive line. Like, if he needs to sit, they have Sam Darnold. I feel like he's a guy that would need like a perfect situation, and I feel like the Vikings might just be that.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you on that for pretty much all the reasons you outlined too. You know, younger player, I think that's important to consider with McCarthy. Was born in 2003, so he's the youngest of kind of this quarterback class of the players in the draft. And part of that, you know, you see in some of his inexperience. Only really was a 2-year starter, as was Drake May as well. But I think that's something that, you know, some people haven't come around with on McCarthy. You know, he has good numbers. He's an accurate passer. Had a lot of success at Michigan. So I don't think it's too surprising to me to see him kind of generate all this buzz and continue to rise up draft boards. And it certainly seems like a top 10 pick is very likely for McCarthy at this point, which you know, was definitely not the case you know, coming into this season, or even, you know, kind of later in the regular season. McCarthy has really kind of bursted onto the scene here as of late. But I think the Vikings would be a really good fit. Like you said, he could sit behind Darnold for a year. He would have some good offensive weapons in Jefferson and Addison, and I know they signed Aaron Jones as well. You know, so I think that that would be make a lot of sense. And you know, the Vikings having acquired that late first round pick, pick 23 overall, definitely have some of the ammo to go up and make it happen. I think they may be looking at picks 4 or 5 with Arizona or the Chargers as a spot to jump up ahead of the Giants, for example. So I think all of that seems to kind of line up with what we're hearing out of what's going on in NFL circles when you follow the what's going on in the media. And I think that McCarthy will likely end up getting selected pretty high, and it could be a team that has to trade up to get him to make it happen.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Why don't you give me some of the downsides? Like, what you obviously came in a little bit of a skeptic on him. What are some of the things that kind of throw you off about him?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he does have good size at 6'3", but a little bit of a lighter quarterback, 196 approximate weight. You know, pretty undersized, so you kind of question some of the durability there. But he's tough. You have seen him run a little bit, has some ability to extend plays, scramble, and did have 10 rushing touchdowns in his career at Michigan. So there's a little bit mobility. Not saying he's you know, like the top rusher like a Jaden Daniels is in this class by any means, but definitely possesses some ability there. So I think that's something that you like. You know, the arm, I think that, you know, there's some good arm strength. You know, people like the pro day, the long throw. I think it's obviously a little bit different story when you know, pressure is coming in. Obviously, you had a really good offensive line and good running backs at Michigan, so was able to benefit off play action a lot in his career at Michigan. So I think you just have some questions of you know, can he continue to, you know, kind of take on and be the guy and can come through in maybe a little bit different type of situation. You know, in the that he may face in the NFL, like you think Pat Mahomes, you know. Obviously, he can just kind of knife him up and be relied upon to have those big third and long conversions. So I think those are just things you still have questions on with McCarthy. You know, he was just a 2-year starter and he's young, so there's a lot you like and think you can develop with him. But I just think that it is such a good quarterback class. There's so many good other quarterbacks in this class that is reasons why I was a little bit lower on McCarthy. Like, I think there's a lot more that I like out of guys like Jaden Daniels and Drake May, and even guys like Nix and Penix. I think obviously more veteran players, so we're talking about different types of prospects, but I think they're more kind of pro ready. So it's a little bit more of a developmental situation with McCarthy. You mentioned the Vikings. If he can sit for a little bit and not be forced into a week one situation, I think that would be smart, and could see McCarthy having a lot of success there. But I just think he's still a little bit raw, needs to kind of continue to, you know, process reads as a passer. And we haven't necessarily seen him in a situation where he hasn't had a lot of talent around him. So I think there's just still some questions. I do like McCarthy. I think he's definitely worthy of a first round selection, and you know, maybe gets picked a little bit higher than I would kind of have him on my board. But I think I see why the NFL likes that, you know, developmental potential and what McCarthy's game brings.
Yeah, I think he's a really interesting guy to watch. He's got an NFL build. He just you watch him at his pro day. He does kind of maybe this is a red flag, maybe it's not, but watching his pro day stuff, I was kind of like, he kind of gives me Zach Wilson vibes. But
Yeah, I totally agree.
people drafted Zach Wilson for a reason, because like if Zach Wilson hadn't gotten drafted into like the worst situation possible known to man, like maybe he could have been something, but he just got the worst coaching possible for like the first 4 years of his career and thrown in a place with no offensive line and really one weapon, and that was it. So
Yeah, I actually another kind of comp that comes to mind. You said Zach Wilson. I think that's a good recent example, but I think even going back a little bit further, one that kind of I think about with McCarthy is Jimmy Clausen was a Notre Dame quarterback in 2010, was a first round pick, and kind of just had like a similar kind of situation to me, where he was at a big time college program, had a lot of success, won a lot of games, a lot of people knew about him. There was a good amount of hype, but you kind of just wondered, oh, is this guy kind of got everything that it takes to be an elite NFL quarterback? And I think Clausen just came up a little bit short on that front. And I don't necessarily want to put that on JJ McCarthy. I think he has a little bit better potential, but that's just kind of another kind of one of those comps where it's like, oh, first round pick, there's obviously a lot to like, but maybe some reasons why, we're not necessarily like, oh, this guy's Joe Burrow. He's going to go first overall and tear up the NFL at the same time.
this is why I love you, RK. You're a historian. I definitely didn't know shit about Jimmy Clausen coming into this or ever in my life. I don't think I was watching football when Jimmy Clausen was playing. So
2010,
that's,
we go way back.
but we're the same age, RK. Weren't you like fucking 10 years old when Jimmy Clausen was playing in Notre Dame?
Hey, I've been watching college football a long time, Eric. Don't sleep.
Our guy's been grinding the tape since he was like 10, folks. Like, yeah, this is the kind of guy we're
No, this is
dealing with.
legitimate. I vividly remember when the Eagles drafted Jeremy Maclin in the draft when he came out, and I remember that Percy Harvin was a big time guy that I wanted them to draft that year out of Florida, and they ended up getting Jeremy Maclin. So I actually have been consciously thinking about draft prospects for pretty much the entirety of my existence and knowledge of football when I started watching it.
Wow, that's love. That's love for the game. All right. Where do you want to go next?
Well, we haven't talked about the number one overall pick in this
Yeah,
year's draft yet,
I
so I
guess
feel
we gotta
like that
talk about him.
might be a wise idea to talk about Caleb Williams. You want me to do this? I mean, I feel like you know a little bit about Caleb Williams. You want to take the obvious profile and I can fill in the gaps?
Tune in to, flashback to 2022, night game, Rice-Eccles Stadium, one of the best college football games I've ever seen in my life. Caleb Williams comes out, absolutely torches the Utah defense, like in a way that I haven't seen the Utah defense get torched in about a decade, and absolutely light up the scoreboard and put up some really good numbers. Cam Rising fights back, the defense tightens up, Utah wins that game. But at that moment, I was like, all right, Caleb Williams, I see you. And then, fast forward to the same year, Pac-12 championship game. And that's really the first time I was like, all right, well, this guy's going to be a problem, because he throws like Patrick Mahomes and he kind of has the legs of Lamar Jackson, and it's a pretty fucking unbelievable and scary combo, and that basically got me to watch every single goddamn Caleb Williams start in 2023, even the goddamn San Jose State game on Pac-12 network. Like, I was watching USC pretty consistently every week this year. And he's really good. I mean, he doesn't miss a lot of throws. He takes what he's given to him. There are some concerns, like Utah definitely in those matchups ran like NFL stuff on him at points, and he kind of got flustered. And same with Notre Dame. That's probably what a lot of critics point to is that Notre Dame game as the worst of his career. I will say, though, if there's something to be said, a game like that Notre Dame game, I don't know if you agree with this, RK, as a guy that's watched a lot of Caleb Williams as well, but I think that's very clearly the worst start of his career. And I don't think anything really ever came close to that. Like, I think a lot of teams had success against him in terms of like they slowed down USC's offense at some point and kept it close. But like no one completely befuddled him the way Notre Dame did. Notre Dame just like I think that one I honestly throw out because I think it was just a total anomaly. But I mean, I think Williams is a very talented prospect. I refuse to believe that he'll come into the NFL and be Patrick Mahomes. I don't believe that anymore. I'm sorry, after Trevor Lawrence and what I saw with him, like and just the way his career's progressed after being such a can't miss progress prospect that people hyped up for years coming into his draft class, I just refuse to believe that guys will hit the NFL and become immediate superstars. Like that's just something I no longer believe in as a football analyst. I'm pretty like I have my rose-colored glasses are off on quarterback play at the next level, but I think Caleb Williams is going to come in, and at the very least, for the Bears, be a serviceable quarterback, which is more than they can say for about the past half decade. And will he be better than Justin Fields? Maybe slightly, but I would say like the level that Justin Fields played at is his best last year. I feel like that's probably the baseline level that I'd expect Caleb Williams to play at in his first year, although obviously they're two very different players. I mean, Caleb Williams is a super complete passer. And that definitely has the best arm in the draft, definitely has the best throwing platform in the draft, definitely can do the most off platform stuff. Like, it is not a hyperbole. He is making throws in college that only Patrick Mahomes is making in the NFL. Like, that is the level of thrower he is. But we'll see what happens. I'm very outspoken. I think if he goes to Chicago, he's not going to be very good early on. I just think the Bears are just a complete failure of an organization. I refuse to believe in their ability to develop quarterbacks, even if it's Caleb Williams. But he's a very talented prospect, and there's no reason he shouldn't go number one because he's the guy that you can definitely plug in week one and say, okay, we're going to get something, and we're going to get something that's probably in that positive.
Yeah, well said. I agree with all that. I think the few things that make Williams stand out and make him kind of the bona fide, easy home run, number one overall pick in a really good quarterback class. You mentioned it, the arm strength. I think an important stat for quarterback prospects I like to look at is yards per attempt. Are you taking those shots downfield consistently? Are you hitting them? And Williams is the top in the draft, over 9 yards per attempt. In his college career at Oklahoma and USC combined. So taking downfield shots, hitting them, doing that on a consistent basis, that's something that's been really impressive out of Williams games. And then the rushing ability, you said it, his ability to scramble, extend plays, run downfield. I don't know if it's quite Lamar Jackson, but it's really not that far off. He and Jaden Daniels, I think, are the top two rushers in this draft. Sometimes Williams will run himself into a little bit of trouble. He's a little bit shorter at 6'1", so sometimes he's kind of cuts himself just scrambling, trying to extend plays out of a structure before even they necessarily kind of break down. Does plenty in the pocket too, but at 6'1", it's just something to be aware of moving to the next level with just a little bit taller offensive linemen and whatnot. But really good at extending plays, scrambling, making things happen. So a lot to like in Williams game. Definitely one of the top QB prospects we've seen. I think it's even fair to put him up there with Trevor Lawrence, if not even maybe a little bit better than Lawrence as a prospect. Lawrence kind of came in, had a bunch of playoff experience, won a ton at Clemson. Williams didn't experience a national championship at USC, but did win a Heisman and was really the focal point of that offense with Lincoln Riley. So definitely a lot to like with Williams as a football player on the field.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's a very interesting guy, and he's going to be must watch basically as soon as he gets into the NFL. But stranger things have happened. I'm just hesitant to put super broad overrating statements on these guys, which is rare for me, because I love to make bold proclamative takes, but like I'm this quarterback class, I've seen enough over the last few years that like I know that like even though we're hyping up like four guys right now, probably only one of them is gonna stick. Now, if I had to make a bet, it's probably Caleb Williams, but who knows at this point. What do you see as places he needs to improve as soon as he gets to the NFL? Like where is he gonna get beat early on?
Yeah, I think if I was an NFL team and we just brought Caleb Williams in and we want to make sure he's developing, I think the area that you got to look at is fumbles. Had 17 fumbles in his career. Sometimes you see him out there, he just kind of holds the ball a little bit loose. When he starts to scramble, extend plays, get two hands on the football, get good habits. We need to be take care of the ball. Didn't have a ton of interceptions, so I don't think it's necessarily as much decision making. I think it's just just being a little careless when running with the football. So I think fumbles is really kind of the big thing that stands out for me with Williams.
Pretty good. All right. Let's talk about Drake May. I'm really interested to see what you see about Drake May. I guess I'll go first again because I've seen a little bit of his in-depth tape, but mainly just highlights. Pros, very big arm. I would say the best part of his game is his deep passing and his deep accuracy. I feel like that's the best part of his game. But he kind of struggles with everything else, if we're being totally honest. Like his pocket presence isn't great. Like his ability to read defenses isn't great. Like his feet aren't great. His mechanics are a little wonky at times. Like he's not great in like the short or mid-game. Like he creates a lot of pressure. Kirk Benkert was saying, like he drifts in the pocket instead of going back, he drifts to the right or the left, and he's I can see why NFL teams would draft him highly, but I don't know. I liked this breakdown a lot, RK, and what this guy was saying made sense to me, and like. If you're a quarterback that doesn't know how to like effectively take a three-step drop going into the NFL, you're going to get eaten fucking alive as soon as you step on to an NFL field. And to me, he feels like a guy that if the Commanders take him at two, I don't know why you just traded Sam Howell, because you want him to be able to sit for a little while. I don't think he's NFL ready yet. The tools are all there, but like from what I've seen and what I've heard from smart draft people, like I get the excitement with the arm talent, but like, man, everything else feels like it's way behind. I don't know.
Yeah, he was just a 2-year starter at North Carolina, so still kind of coming along a little bit. Just a couple months older than JJ McCarthy is in this draft class. So you really like the size. You mentioned it, the big arm. He's got some good mobility. We've seen him run a good amount as well. Is taking good care of the football. Not a ton of turnovers in May's game, but like you said, you kind of just question like, oh, he's like the super high end, super elite. Top line plays. Maybe just a little bit missing from his game. I think one comp that comes to mind for me is Ryan Tannehill coming out of Texas A&M in 2012. Kind of just projections like, yeah, this guy, he's probably got enough tools and enough to like out of him where you can kind of get by, have some success. He could kind of be a young quarterback you could work around and use in your lineup, but I'm not necessarily sure that he's going to go out of his way to elevate the level of his play and everybody else around him at the same time. So I think Drake May will come in. He'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Maybe it'll take him a little bit of time to kind of come along. Since he just has about I think it's 26 games as a starter in the last 2 years at North Carolina. So still gonna take some time with him, but I think he'll still be good enough to be a an NFL starter at least by the end of year one.
That's pretty high praise. I mean, coaching does matter quite a bit, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. These guys don't get more than 1 year, unfortunately. These days, that's not really how it works. There's not a ton of patience with quarterbacks, but like if he ends up in Washington, like which I guess he might, like. What is his ceiling? Like their team has been interesting for a few years. Obviously, they have some guys. You know, John Dotson's okay. He performed pretty well last year. Terry McLaurin has been a top wide receiver for a majority of his career, even though he's had pretty middling quarterbacks throwing to him. Like, what kind of potential could we see if he lands with a team like the Commanders?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. I think you start by, looking at the other quarterbacks on the roster, and obviously he would have another North Carolina Tar Heel there. Or no, actually they traded Howell. Never mind. They would have Mariota though. That wouldn't necessarily need him to start right away week one. But he could kind of fill in that spot when he's ready. So I think that part would help. I think their receiving group is okay. Like when you look at McLaurin and Dotson, like at least it's something that you could work with. In an offense. But I still don't think that he would kind of turn around the Commanders and all of a sudden they're one of all of a sudden making like a Houston Texans like turnaround where they're winning the division and having success right away. So I don't really think any quarterback would just go into Washington and just start tearing it up. I think May would be kind of their guy for a little bit in time, but it would kind of remind me a little bit of Daniel Jones, honestly, when he went to the Giants, where it's like, okay, yeah, he'll probably be their starter, but am I sold that he's going to kind of come in and change the fortune around and make this a Super Bowl contender? I would say absolutely not.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Drake May ends up being, because the Army Arm Town is there. You're probably better at comps than me on him. I to be honest, I watched the film breakdown on him, so I'm much more negative on him just because I've seen way more negative stuff than I've seen positive stuff, and even the flashy throws to me don't really outweigh the negatives. But like, what is like, give me a general vibe on who a comp might be.
Yeah, I said Ryan Tannehill earlier. I feel like that's what I would go with out of Texas A&M. Especially like young Tannehill had some success with the Dolphins. I know obviously he dealt with some injuries, had some success, but wasn't necessarily someone that you were like, oh wow, this is a young quarterback that's tearing up the NFL, but was having some success. I feel like a similar situation we could see out of Drake May.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Jaden Daniels. He's a guy I'm pretty interested in, RK. Haven't gotten a chance to watch a ton of tape on him, mainly seen the highlights. Did watch a few LSU games this year, but obviously the concern with him is the frame. And the fact that is the frame, sorry, I have some distractions here. Is the frame and the fact that can he withstand the NFL the way he plays? Which is odd because I'm gonna throw out something to you. I did have a comp for him. He kind of gives me like way smaller, not the same frame at all. Throw out the frame, but just the way he plays, he reminds me of Josh Allen. Like, he's big play hunting all the time in the throw game. Like, he loves the deep ball, and to me, he's a much better deep ball thrower than Drake May is. To me, he's got the best touch in this class. He has an insane arm, and has been doing this for a while. Like, I watched him at ASU. Like, he was pulling out these type of throws at ASU. Like, I don't think arm talent is an issue whatsoever. But what do you think about that early assessment of him? Like, I honestly don't hate the comp. Like, he does play like Josh Allen, but if Josh Allen didn't have the frame that Josh Allen has.
Yeah, I think like mindset, mentality, fearlessness. I think I see that in Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels games. Extending plays after the pocket, running with some physicality. Not being afraid to challenge on defenders and take a hit, which probably scares some NHL or NFL front office people, but it is kind of a part of their game. Really good rusher. Obviously had over 1,000 yards this year rushing. With LSU, that's pretty incredible stuff. Has had over 10 rushing touchdowns each of the last 2 years. His 2 years at LSU. So, a lot to like. He's definitely benefited from the NIL era where, he started his career at Arizona State, was a freshman starter. You saw some of the flashes, him hitting a deep ball to Brandon Ayuk, like you said, good deep ball patience. Then transferring over to LSU, obviously benefiting from not, saying like, oh, I need to go to the NFL right away. He wouldn't have been ready, but 2 years at LSU, throwing with incredible receivers there. Obviously, this year with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. So, a lot to like with what Daniels has been able to offer, and doing it obviously against SEC competition, helps a little bit better in terms of that projection translation to the NFL. Now, an area he needs to work at big time is taking sacks. I feel like that's kind of the part of Josh Allen's game where you're like, oh yeah, it's fun and all when it's working, but sometimes you get the kind of the dumb side of it where, they're making mistakes and doing some kind of bonehead stuff too. You mentioned the frame injuries, but 129 sacks he's taken in his career is way, way too much. And yeah, a lot of that came early in his career at Arizona State. Did have 22 sacks again last year though, so I think a little bit better pocket presence. Being able to read the rush because he has that ability to kind of take off and rush and be a really big threat with his legs. Kind of maybe more so in that Lamar Jackson range than what we saw with Caleb Williams. I know you mentioned that earlier, but I think Daniels kind of provides that a little bit more in terms of the explosive running in what he can offer, but needs to do a better job at developing it at reading those rushes and avoiding taking as many sacks as he has. But really fun prospect, a lot of upside in my opinion. He's the second best quarterback in this class after Caleb Williams.
Well, it's pretty high praise. I don't disagree. How worried are you about frame stuff?
I think it's a combination of the frame and the decision making, like I said, with the sacks. If he was more proficient at getting the ball out and avoiding contact, then I don't think the frame would be as much of a question. He hasn't really been injured or banged up too much in his college career. He's been pretty durable, playing through pain. And like I said, he's been a starter since his freshman year at Arizona State. So he's had 55 games of starting experience. So it hasn't disrupted him in the college game, but it's something to be aware of. But at 6'4", I think he's still offers enough size upside to where you're like, yeah, we can probably make it work with what Jaden Daniels can do. Just coach him up a little bit on avoiding some big shots, and that's something that you regularly see with guys picked to be franchise quarterbacks. So I think it's not something that would shy me away from making the pick, but something to be aware of if you brought him into your own building.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really high on him. Sorry, I keep muting myself. I don't know what's wrong with me. I like him a lot. I had a friend who texted me something about Jaden Daniels earlier, and I didn't understand what it means. Can you tell me about his elbow? What is up with Jaden Daniels' elbow? Are you familiar with this? Apparently, there's some conspiracy with Jaden Daniels' elbow.
I'm not aware of this.
You're not aware of this at all.
No, I'm okay. I'm just looking this up now. There's just a weird picture of his elbow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, it's fucked up.
What is this like? This is like Moneyball. This is his deficiency. This is why Billy Beane's gonna have him fall in the draft
No,
and
I don't
Jordan
know.
Hill
I
is gonna
just have
throw
a
him on the
friend who
board. Like,
watches a lot of SEC football, and they
that is
texted
a
me,
weird elbow.
and they were like, check out his elbow. He's such a crazy elbow.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely sticking out. But I mean, the guy won the Heisman. I'm not like knocking this guy for just looking like he's got a weird elbow.
I guess that's true. What? How much of a Patriot's gonna ruin this guy's career? I feel like going to the Patriots is like the worst possible scenario for him because they don't have an offensive line. They have no wide receivers. I feel like that's just going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it'll probably suck early on. They would obviously need to improve that roster around him, but who knows? Gerard Mayo, new coach now, like maybe they can protect him a little bit, utilize his rushing ability. Like, I think about they're probably in a worse spot. I don't want to fully compare this, but like the Colts last year with Anthony Richardson, we were kind of like, well, the Colts, you still suck, but like, all right, sure, you got your guy, and maybe in a couple of years you'll figure it out around him. I'm usually more of a fan of build the team, build the structure, build the offensive line before you go out and get your young quarterback so that you can maximize the 5 years you get with him on your rookie contract, exercising a fifth year option. But at the same time, everybody's looking for quarterbacks. This is a good quarterback draft. I don't think you have the luxury of just saying, ah, oh, we'll just wait on it. No big deal. I think you got to take Daniels for the Pats there.
All right, okay. Can we take a brief pause here to talk about something really quick? Have you ever had a Reese's Take Five?
I'm sure I have, but I don't want to oversell it and be like I immediately know the feeling of it right now.
Oh my God, dude. These things, I don't eat them often, but these things, I have a bag in my room and I cracked open two before this podcast. And oh my God, dude, it's just a life-changing candy. This Barista's Take Five, as I can see. I just wanted to bring up a brief candy moment of levity before we get to some of the deeper quarterbacks here. But I just want to shout out Reese's Take Fives. Is that acceptable? I know you're all ball. I apologize, RK. You weren't the target audience for this. I needed Brian with me.
I mean, yeah, that felt like an ad read.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't an ad read. Okay, I just got a tweet from my friend about Jaden Daniels, and it says Jaden Daniels appears to be dealing with an ulceration brucitis on his right throwing elbow. There's an inflammation of the bursa, which is a sac that is usually empty and is there to protect the bone underneath. We have them in several joints, including the elbow and the knee. Interesting. Also, we're not sponsored by Reese's Take Five, but we totally should be.
So what you're saying is JJ McCarthy's going to be picked over Jaden Daniels because of his elbow.
I don't know, maybe.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what
Yeah.
I'm hearing.
All right, RK. I'm fading fast. It's been a long day. Here's what I need you to do. I'm going to throw out two guys that I've watched a shit ton of because they have played just a shit ton of Pac-12 football over the past 2 years. And I'll give you a little rundown on both. You just tell me why they're not going to work out. Bo Nix. Maybe my favorite college quarterback of all time. Entertaining at Auburn, when he got to Oregon and they made a system around him. Very, very good. Fun guy to watch. Just a great football player. Doesn't have the best arm in the world. I don't think he's going to translate to the NFL, but shout out Bo Nix. Like, I just fucking love the guy. Two, Michael Penix. Michael Penix, man, this guy throws an insane deep ball, does everything right, really good passer, and people are gonna get scared off by his knee. Like, what the hell? He had surgery 2 years ago. Like, what is happening with Michael Penix? Because I feel like if you watch Michael Penix play at Washington last year, like, and I know I'm not the only one, like, Mina Kimes was a huge fan too. Like, he is playing pro style football and making really high level throws. Like, why aren't more people talking about him? And why might he slide all the way down to the second round?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of factors there. You mentioned the injury history, not even just the knee, but he's had shoulder surgery in his past as well. Just been really banged up. Transferred from Indiana before getting to Washington, and having an unbelievable year throwing to Romo Odunze and Jalen Polk and McMillan. Just a great receiving group, but had an incredible year. I think it's just probably the overall inconsistency. You know, he has a good deep ball. We've seen it. We've seen some of his mobility, you know, come through at different times, extending plays and having some success there. But just hasn't fully been on display over the course of his career in college. Like, you know, there's been a various reasons for that. You know, started his career at Indiana, didn't have a ton of talent, dealt with some injuries. Finally gets to Washington, dealt with some injuries, and then last year really just all kind of came together. But as that more of a situation where he's older than everybody else in this competition, once he goes to the NFL, you know, doesn't have as much of that advantage. You know, doesn't have an automatic one-on-one win on the outside with a Romo Odunze anymore. Can he still kind of translate and have that same amount of success that we saw a year ago out of Penix? Now, I still like what I see. I still kind of trust the video and what we saw out of his game last year and say, yeah, this would be someone that I would be willing to take a shot on in, you know, the back half of the first round. And I think there's enough teams that need a quarterback to where it will be considered where Penix could go, you know, after having such a strong year, you know, finishing up his college career at Washington. But I think just the inconsistency, the age, the injury history, all that kind of contributes to reasons why Penix isn't, you know, viewed as a little bit higher of a prospect despite having, you know, one of the best seasons of any quarterback last year in college football.
Those are all good points, RK. All right, I'm going to give you the floor. Tell me about some of these depth guys. Just go off and fire off some last second thoughts on these depth guys, because RK, honestly, the best time to talk about these quarterbacks, I feel like, is when they get drafted. Like, we'll know so much more and we'll have so much more to say once we see the fits where these guys are at. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I feel like our post-draft show in like the first week of May or whatever, like the Tuesday after the draft is done, like I feel like we're gonna have a ton of context on these quarterbacks and we're gonna be much more able to talk about what we think they have going in. But give me a few names that we haven't talked about tonight and what to watch for with them.
Yeah, I think there's really two names to kind of keep your eye on. There's a little bit more guys deeper in the draft, like a Joe Milton, a Sam Hartman, a Keaton Slovis, Michael Pratt from Tulane. I'm not as high on those guys, so I don't want to give them more love than I really need to. So I think the two guys to really kind of keep your eye on, in my opinion, are Jordan Travis out of Florida State and Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina. You know, both guys that have had their ups and downs. I think with Jordan Travis, you know, had an amazing year last year, really led Florida State an undefeated season, unfortunately got injured in a meaningless non-conference game at the end of the year, ruined the chances for Florida State to get into the college football playoff. Just heartbreaking series of events there. But Travis was really kind of the leader on that team. Only had two interceptions to his 20 touchdowns a year ago. You know, not necessarily the most accurate passer, but will take shots downfield. Had some talented receivers last year. Keon Coleman at Florida State, one of those in the draft this year. Johnny Wilson as well in that receiving core. But some things to like with Travis, you know, started the last, you know, 3 years essentially at Florida State and has some good rushing ability as well. 31 rushing touchdowns in his career. So really like his mobility. Just needs to improve, I think, in terms of the consistency with the accuracy of his passes, and obviously the status of his injury is going to be well aware of teams. And then the other guy I mentioned, Spencer Rattler, really kind of a controversial figure, was a five-star recruit coming out of high school in Arizona, ended up going to Oklahoma, sat behind Kyler Murray for a year, and then was a starter before he actually was caught by Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick in this year's draft, took over the reins for Oklahoma after Rattler dealt with some injury or sorry, interception issues, was turning the ball over a little bit too much for Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma's liking, so was ended up getting benched, ended up leaving, transferring to South Carolina, where he started the last 2 years and has had, you know, a good amount of success. Don't want to oversell it, but just under 20 touchdowns each of the last 2 years, over 3,000 yards passing, so has been a really accurate passer, will take some shots downfield, but really that's just you know, what you get with Rattler is just an incredibly accurate passer, can make plays happen out of structure, extending plays, throwing off platform, but it's really kind of the consistency with turnovers. Has dealt with a lot of interception issues in his career, has taken a lot of sacks, so the decision making, the leadership, those are kind of more questions, but the raw talent, the raw ability is there with Rattler. It would not surprise me to see Rattler end up going to a spot where he can be a backup quarterback, but you know, a good quarterback coach could really make something out of Rattler to where he could be a you know, not, I don't want to oversell it and say NFL starter, but you know, a quality NFL quarterback that can make throws for you and make some plays happen as well.
Okay, it's always great talking with you about this stuff because you know you do a really great job with watching the actual film and not just the highlights on these guys, which is so admirable with all this stuff. I guess if you have one big quarterback take before we get out of here to get off your chest. Sorry, I know we had to run this a little bit abbreviated. I had a bit of a crazy day personally. So I don't want you to feel like we're being shortchanged here. But also, all these episodes lately have been going like 1 hour and 15 minutes. And like, I'd rather we get a shorter one out to the people. So just close us out here, man. Like, what are just some overall general thoughts, but maybe you haven't gotten you off your chest yet, or if you have something you want to ask me, or like, where do you want to go here with like this last 10 minutes to kind of close out here?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting. I think one thing that kind of comes to mind is I think with quarterback class, it always gets all the attention. And years out, we're always like, oh, this is the quarterback class. Wait for 2024. It's got Caleb Williams in it. It's got Drake May in it. Teams have been kind of lining up for a couple of years to try to get their top overall picks to get one of these top quarterbacks. But I think oftentimes we kind of oversell it at the same time. It's easy to look back a couple of years at the last time we had kind of that generational quarterback at the top with Trevor Lawrence, and then you kind of filled it out with the Trey Lances, the Zach Wilsons, the Mac Jones, the Justin Fields, and then now here we are, and we can look back at that class. And Lawrence is the only guy still with his team. The other guys haven't really, made it happen as much as we kind of thought. And that's kind of what strikes me out of this quarterback class as well. Like I said, kind of a really hyped up class for years. We've been like, oh, this 2024 class, wait for it. It's gonna be loaded. There's gonna be so much talent. For years we were waiting for Spencer Rattler because he was a 5-star recruit. Caleb Williams, this was kind of an eyes on him situation. Bo Nix started since his freshman year at Auburn before going to Oregon. But here we are, and I feel like there's still some flaws in every single one of these quarterbacks as we went through it. And it would not surprise me to see, 4 years down the line from now, and maybe not all these quarterbacks ended up having some success. I could see a Jaden Daniels, not necessarily translating after, really popping off and having an amazing senior year at LSU. But as an older prospect, I'm not too sure that, we can always see him kind of elevate and continue to grow his game. Drake May, we question the upside a little bit. Michael Penix, some durability and mobility questions there. J.J. McCarthy really rising up draft boards, but not necessarily because of what we saw in his proficiency on the field, but a lot of what we've seen off the field with the pro day and ability to break down the board and things like that. So it would not surprise me to see this quarterback class not necessarily fizzle, but be one that isn't necessarily remembered as one of the all-time greats for as much as it's really been hyped up for a number of years.
Yeah, and same thing with all these people that are saying, like, oh, the quarterback class is so bad next year. Like, we don't know. Like, who knows? Maybe one of these guys, like, hell, maybe Cam Rising goes out at Utah this year and puts up like 4,000 yards, and people are like, holy shit, like, this guy could be an NFL prospect. Like, we really don't know until we get like to November in the college season, like, what the quarterback class is going to look like. If there were guys in the college game that you were most intrigued to watch next year, RK, who would they be?
Yeah, I think one that stands out for me is Quinn Ewers. I was really, really low on Quinn Ewers a year ago. I really didn't think that he was going to have a
I
ton of
thought he had an
success.
excellent year last year.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was going to really kind of hold things off at Texas. I thought guys like Malik Murphy, who ended up being the backup and came in when Ewers went hurt, and obviously there was so much hype about Arch Manning as well. But I was really impressed with Ewers, and obviously that big road win at Alabama really kind of caught my eye and took it all the way to the college football playoffs. So gained a lot of respect for Ewers as a guy who was that 5-star recruit, started at Ohio State, transferred away to Texas, obviously banking in on some NIL money with that kind of a move. But I think that Ewers is really intriguing to me. Shedeur Sanders at Colorado, we saw him have success early in the year before things really kind of fizzled out for them. Drew Aller at Penn State, has really good size, but not necessarily sold that he'll be a top NFL prospect. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Will Levis, who ironically also started his career at Penn State as well. Definitely a lot of intriguing guys. You got Jalen Milroe at Alabama as well. We know about his rushing ability. Can he develop as a passer? Dylan Gabriel staying in college, and now will take over for Bo Nix at Oregon. So there's definitely a handful of quarterbacks yet again next year that will be in the draft and we'll be talking about all fall.
What about Connor Wegman?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen as much out of him. I know a Texas A&M quarterback there,
Nah,
but
dude, I was just joking. Like, Connor
yeah.
Wegman's not gonna be a prospect.
I'm not too sold on Wegman, but I have seen him eye up on some other rankings out there, but I definitely wouldn't have him above Quinn Ewers like I've seen out there.
Yeah, Gunnar Wegman's not gonna be a prospect. Sorry,
Yeah,
I just
I
had to
don't
give a
think
joke out there. I will say though, you and I, we both know this. Keep an eye on that Big 12 because Cam Rising, and also the kid out of Kansas, Jadon Daniels. Two guys. Keep your eye on those two guys. Daniels especially. He's an interesting cat.
yeah.
But maybe Connor Wegman will develop. I have a friend who's really into Texas A&M, and I hope that Texas A&M does really well this year because it'd be happy to see them happy. But I just like to make jokes at their expense and make them angry, which I'm sure this podcast will make them.
Hey, the 12th man, they got to make their noise somehow.
Yep, 12 minutes, you gotta make my noise somehow. Gig 'em, baby. All right. Until next time, RK, thanks so much for joining me, my man. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.